Welcome to the Sourcing Hero podcast, produced by UNA, a group purchasing organization that empowers sourcing heroes, and Art of Procurement, the world's largest procurement podcast network. I'm your host, Kelly Barner. The goal of the Sourcing Hero podcast is to capture the epic stories of people who are rising up and beating the odds to create exceptional value within procurement, directly from those heroes themselves. Today, my guest here on the Sourcing Hero podcast is Chris Sawchuk. Chris is a principal and the Global Procurement Advisory Practice Leader at the Hackett Group. The Hackett Group has just recently released their 2021 Digital World-Class Procurement Research, which details how top performers are improving their efficiency, effectiveness, and customer experience. So, hi, Chris. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, Kelly. I'm looking forward to our discussion.
So before we actually jump into the meat of the report, can I have you just provide a little bit more information about your current role, your daily tasks, how your time is spent for folks that have maybe not heard you speak before?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm a principal within the Hackett Group, a global business advisory firm, and I lead our global sourcing and procurement advisory business for the firm. And in that business, we advise hundreds of organizations. If people have been exposed to Hackett and have seen some of the research, like the research we're going to be discussing today, that comes out of my group. So when you see Hackett, you know, releasing research, that is coming out of the group that I lead for the firm.
And absolutely, for anyone in procurement, we often see a lot of very meaningful and frequently cited research coming out of the Hackett Group. Now, in terms of this specific research report, one of the things that I think is interesting about it, and I just want to make sure we don't gloss over this before we jump into the learnings, is it doesn't necessarily talk about world-class procurement. It talks about digital world-class procurement. Can you tell me what the difference is between those two things?
Certainly. You know, digital world class is a name that we provided to, you know, this idea of a world class performance. But it really goes back a few years when we started looking at the, I like to call it the outsized impact that technology has been having on the performance of organizations. In this particular case, we're specifically looking at procurement and supply management. And one of the studies that we did, you know, starting in about 2019, was really starting to look at, you know, when we look at organizations and we look at those organizations that invest and utilize technology to a higher degree, do we see that they actually outperform other organizations? So at the time, we actually took our database, and let's just say there was 100 companies in that database. And we looked at it and we split it into three different groups. And we said, you know, here's the highest group. And this is the group that has the highest utilization of technology. And so there's a number of different metrics that we looked at in identifying those that utilize technology to a higher degree. Let's just take, for example, the percentage of, you know, purchase orders that are digital, that are electronic. And we would look at that and say, all right, in this group that is highly digital, you know, this is a group with these types of metrics, whether it be in transactional processes or your sourcing and supplier management processes, et cetera, are using technology to a much higher degree. And then we had a middle group, which was a lower level of utilization. And then the bottom group, with the bottom third, had the lowest utilization of technology. And then what we did is we compared that bottom group, you know, of the third of the organizations to the top, you know, the organization that was utilizing technology to a much higher degree. So remember, the only way that we separated these groups was based on their utilization of technology. And then what we did is then looked at their performance. We looked at things like their ability to deliver savings back to their organization, their ability to create an ROI, their ability to, you know, be efficient, you know, things like what is their investment in procurement, their ability to, you know, have much more velocity in the organization when you start looking at cycle times, whether that be in transactional processes or sourcing processes. And what we saw were these stark differences between this group that was less digitally enabled versus the group that was the most digitally enabled. And what that led us to is this, you know, this perspective that digital and technology is having an outsized impact on the performance of procurement organizations. And that was led us to this whole concept of a digital world-class organization. We truly believe that you cannot be a top performer without digital technologies going forward. And because of the outsized impact, you know, our methodology changed where we're more heavily weighting the impact of digital technologies, you know, looking forward.
Now, you talked about a couple of things that I want to tie together. One of them being the idea of savings, right? Any of us that have been around for a while, we know that savings has always been there. And in some capacity, it's always likely to be. But also procurement's impact. And one of the findings from this research that I would like to hear more about is this idea that digital world-class procurement organizations are more operationally efficient. They actually cost less to run. Can you talk a little bit about why that is?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not something that is new, you know, just over the last couple of years. We've seen that for many, many, many years. And if we even went back a couple of decades when we started really just seeing the emergence of technology into the function itself, what we saw was the impact that these functions that were, you know, focused on using more technology in their organizations and, you know, what we'll call as the cost of procurement, their cost of operations. And, you know, we would always call it sort of this technology for labor swap, you know, where organizations were investing technology. So we were, you know, investing and put more of our, you know, monetary resources into technology. And as a result of that, we were able to lower our investments in the labor component of our organization. You know, one of the concepts that we look at when we look at the full investment of a function, we look at things such as fully loaded labor. We look at outsourcing, we look at technology, and we look at other costs like training and visiting suppliers, et cetera. And when you look at all those costs, that's the all-in cost of, you know, the overall function itself. And if we went back a couple of decades, you know, labor was a high, very high percentage of the overall cost, you know, of an overall function. With the introduction of technology, what we have seen is this labor for technology swap occurring, and the lower, you know, a less and less dependency on labor and more dependency on technology. What that's done is really reduce the cost of our organizations because it's not an equal swap. You know, we're swapping out higher cost labor for lower cost technology.
And yet one of the things that we can't allow to change is the experience that procurement provides for internal customers. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure there's also a component of this that is, it's not just human or labor-related tasks being taken on by technology. It's, okay, if technology can do A, B, and C, then we are freed up to invest our talent dollars in or our labor time in some type of more strategic value-oriented or relational time. And in fact, that plays out in this research as the most digitally transformed procurement teams also earn the highest marks in terms of internal customer experience or customer satisfaction, however your company tends to put it. Is that a matter of reallocating time? Is it a matter of the type of procurement professionals that tend to work in these digitally world-class procurement teams? What does that really come down to?
Well, I think it's a number of different factors. And I think the first one is, you know, the ability to free up time. And so we've always talked about, and, you know, again, this is an age-old, you know, discussion that we've had in procurement for many, many years is, you know, how do we, you know, reduce our dependency on, you know, transactional types of activities and free up some of our time from those types of activities, you know, and you shift that time to much more knowledge-centric types of activities. I think a lot of us would look at it and say, well, you know, if we could spend more time developing strategies, that would allow us to be able to create more value for the organization. So there's this always a swap that we wanted to, you know, have occur in our organization. You know, I was just talking, you know, in the previous question was around the labor for technology swap, where we're swapping out labor for technology. And, you know, one of the things that technology does, you know, as we become more of a digitally transformed organization, is that it's, you know, I like to say it's not just about the technology. It is about the ability to create a much more customer-centric organization. And so to do that, certainly technology is important in actually creating a better experience for our stakeholders to engage with us. And that may be, you know, stakeholders that include the suppliers, the internal stakeholders, you know, internal to our organizations, and just creating an experience in terms of them engaging with us, creating much more self-service, you know, kinds of mechanisms for them to engage in getting information, to finding out the status of certain things, et cetera. Now, at the same time, it's changing the skills that are required for those professionals as we free up their time from some of this other type of work. And what you're seeing is the future of procurement is really much more of a knowledge-centric kind of role. And so what you find is the elevation and need for skills that are much more focused around data, you know, skills around analytics and technology, but also the relationship skills as well. And so you're seeing the elevation of that procurement professional around these types of skills in the organization. And what's underpinning all of this is the access to data. I like to say is that we can have all of the technology and have this platform, but without good data sort of underpinning it and being foundational to that, it's very difficult to get the kind of value out of that technology without these other foundational elements in place as well. And so I guess what I'm saying is that when you look at a lot of these different components, it's not just about the technology. What we're talking about is a true digital transformation that allows us to, you know, change the way that we do things. And certainly this is where a lot of the technology comes into play. But it's also about creating a much more customer-centric organization. And lastly, it's about creating an organization with a much faster clock speed than what we have seen in the past. You know, today to compete, we have to be faster. And so velocity becomes much more important in our success. And so our ability to enable that clock speed of our companies becomes very important and certainly a high value enabler that we can, you know, produce from a procurement organization standpoint.
Yeah. Now, one follow-up question for you about this point on data. To what extent does the data that procurement needs in order to be truly digital world-class come from procurement systems, processes, and technologies? And to what extent, I mean, world-class is another level of performance, right? It's not just being good at procurement. If you are world-class procurement, you are outperforming the vast majority of your market. To what extent do we need to be drawing data or analytics or information from systems and sources that actually come from outside of the procurement realm?
Well, I think it's absolutely critical. I think, you know, as you go back and you say, well, where did we, you know, sort of start our focus? And it was really around the internal systems, our transactional financial systems, you know, just trying to get access to the data that was in those systems to do basic spend analytics. As we've grown, and you know, the comment that I made is that, you know, more and more of what the procurement and supply management function is becoming is a much more knowledge-centric organization, where intelligence becomes much more key to the ability for this function to be able to enable business success. And so as part of that, you know, our access to data becomes absolutely critical. And we have to get beyond sort of those internal systems that we're, you know, dealing with as a, you know, internally to other sources of data. And to your point, a lot of that data, a lot of that intelligence, a lot of that knowledge exists outside of the four walls of our company. They exist in that information and intelligence exists within our suppliers and our supply chains and multiple tiers of those supply chains. It exists in our supply markets, which are beyond the suppliers that we actually engage with. It may exist in social media feeds that we have access to, et cetera. And so our ability and one of the core capabilities that procurement has to have is to continue to build that data pool, that data lake, that data that we have and continue to grow that over time. It's not a task that has an end time to it and say, you know what, I got all the data I need. I don't need any more. It's continuing because our ability to be successful in the future is getting data in a way that's much more real time. It's predictive and can give our companies an edge in the marketplace. So the question is, what is that data that we need to give us an edge in terms of our competitors in the marketplace? And so growing that data is a core competency and has to, if it isn't today, has to become a core competency of the supply management organization.
Absolutely. And you know, we've so far in this conversation talked about digital procurement as though it were one thing, right? If you want to be digital world-class procurement, step one is you plug it in, step two is you turn it on, right? But we know it's not that simple. And in fact, in this research, you actually sort of profile six different areas of excellence that have to come together in order for a procurement organization and their company to have digital world-class procurement. Now, I'm not going to make you list all six from memory, but I think the most important point here maybe is, why are there so many different factors that are required for a procurement team to actually be digital world-class?
I think it goes back to what I was saying before that, you know, I was mentioning that, you know, digital transformation, and I'll make a comment on our key issue study that we completed at the beginning of this year. And so there's a study that we do every year where we look into the next year and we ask organizations, you know, what are the things that you're most focused on? What are your priorities as you look into the next year? Well, in that study this year, you know, there's 10 areas that we highlighted as key priorities for these procurement leaders on a global basis across industry. Well, one of them had to do with digital transformation. And what was interesting about that, it wasn't just about, you know, digital transformation was a key priority. It was the acceleration of it. And that acceleration occurred as a result of the pandemic. You know, a lot of organizations realized, and I'll say the pandemic exposed a lot of vulnerabilities in a lot of organizations, you know, in the fact that they weren't as digitally enabled and were not able to react to the pandemic in the way they should have. And so it had an effect of accelerating, you know, a lot of these efforts around digital transformation. But there was another priority in our study that had to do with modernizing our procurement applications. And I would get the question a lot around, you know, what's the difference between digital transformation and this idea of modernizing our procurement applications? And the idea was, is what I said before, is that digital transformation is much more broad. It's not just about the technology. It is about the technology, but it's not only about the technology. I highlighted, you know, the customer centricity, the velocity. You know, there's a number of things that go, you know, because it is a much more holistic and full transformation. When we look at the technology, and you know, one of the items that we highlighted in our, you know, these six areas is just moving to a much more modern architecture in our environments. If we're going to truly become digital and digital world-class organization, you know, moving to more of a modern architecture, and what we're specifically saying there is more of a cloud-based modern architecture. Something that was, you know, highlighted in our key issues study, where we now see that organizations, you know, focusing on cloud is, you know, a much higher degree than what we see in sort of legacy applications. Now, you know, a lot of folks will look at that and say, well, you know, that's not new. Well, of course it isn't. But, you know, we're finally at a point where we're seeing this change of the guards, and where, you know, truly where we are today is that cloud-based modern architectures are dominating, you know, the investment of our procurement organizations and where they're investing looking forward. But when you look at digital transformation in these different areas that we highlight, and you highlighted that there were six of them, there were areas that I've already mentioned: data and analytics, you know, technology and, you know, enablement, talent, and the types of skills that we need. The two things that we haven't talked about were areas around the operating model itself. And understanding as we look forward and we start to evolve our operating model, you know, as an organization, you know, this is something that, well, it's actually something that we started talking about at the tail end of last year. And one of the things that we see emerging in our operating models in procurement is the emergence of, you know, not only function-specific types of activities, but activities that are, you know, potentially, you know, better served at an enterprise kind of level. And I'll give you an example here. You know, if you look at a center of excellence, a lot of times, you know, in procurement, we have a COE, a center of competency around different types of skills. A lot of times, you know, market intelligence will be a center of competency and a capability that we have in our COEs. Now, you know, another area might be analytics. Well, the thing is around analytics is that if we went to finance, they would have a need and a COE around analytics. And same with HR and all these other parts of the business. So does it make sense to have, you know, analytical capabilities spread across all of these individual functional COEs? Or is that something, an activity that we ought to be looking at on a much more enterprise basis? So one of the things that we're seeing in these organizations today is really taking out some of those activities that are more common across multiple areas, multiple functions, multiple business, and bringing it to more to an enterprise level. So you're going to see sort of this, you know, divergence of activity that's being done more, I'll say, productively at an enterprise level versus being done at a functional level. And so that's some of the operating model evolution that we are seeing going forward.
I mean, any one of these areas, any one of these ways that we look at procurement, everything's always on a continuum, right? And mm-hmm. So obviously digital world class is sort of the ideal state. And there are, in fact, some companies that have achieved that level of performance. But whether you're already there and you're pushing to get even better, or if you're not quite there yet and you're pushing to improve, there's always some next level that we can challenge ourselves to achieve. And so to that point, I would actually like to ask you a question that I ask every guest that joins me here on The Sourcing Hero. And that is, what does the idea of heroism in a business context mean to you? Or what is the idea of a sourcing hero and what that means for companies?
It's a great question. And, you know, obviously it's the name of this webcast. And, you know, as I was thinking about that, you know, what would that, you know, really mean? And, you know, I always, and I mentioned this a couple of times during our discussion, is that, you know, the idea of business enablement, you know, I don't see a sourcing hero is somebody that just saves a lot of money or they just reduce risk, et cetera. What I see a sourcing hero is an individual that, you know, understands what the business needs to be successful. They're focused on business success. And as a result of that, they shape their capabilities to enable that success. And if savings is something that the business, based on the current situation that they're in today, is what's going to drive that success, then that's what we're going to go focus on. You know, in today's age, you know, with the pandemic and, you know, what we've seen is a lot of organizations pivot to assuring supply. And not just assuring supply, but protecting the revenue contributions of the organization. And so, you know, this may not be something that lasts forever. Hopefully, as we get into 2022, we're going to see, you know, that abate a bit and our focus will turn to other areas. But right now, that's that focus. So when I look at a sourcing hero, it's somebody that enables business success.
And that's certainly something that all of us, regardless of where we are today, can aspire to, because the needle on business success is always moving, right? We're never going to get to that point and say, okay, I'm done. I can check that off. Business success, we've achieved it, right? That's a goal that continually moves. And so it's going to challenge us to continue innovating and learning and getting more efficient, better leveraging technology and improving our skill sets all at the same time. So Chris, thank you so much for joining me today to tell us a little bit more about this research and add some color through your insights into it.
Yeah, thank you. I enjoyed the discussion.
If there's someone listening in that would like to connect with you, what is the best way to reach out and get in touch?
The best way, if you want to get access to the research that we just talked about, would be go to our website. And that would be, you know, a great way to go get access to some of the research that we put out and make available to the open market. The other way, just to get in touch with me, I would suggest going on LinkedIn. It's probably the easiest way to get in touch with me, but just go search on me, Chris Sawchuk, on LinkedIn, and please connect with me.
That is fantastic. And I just have to know, one of these days, somebody's going to say something really creative, like carrier pigeon is definitely the best way to reach me, or, you know, the toucans with the string. But absolutely, definitely go to the Hackett website. They've got insights, checkout sourcing and procurement. Look up Chris on LinkedIn. Chris, thank you so much for being here with me today on The Sourcing Hero.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Sourcing Hero podcast. Join us again next time for more true stories of sourcing and business heroism performed by your colleagues and peers. Look for the Sourcing Hero wherever you get your podcasts, and don't forget to subscribe. Finally, don't forget, sourcing heroism is taking place all around us every day. Keep your eyes open and you're bound to see it. Until next time, I'm your host, Kelly Barner. Stay well, and always remember that you can be a hero too.